It's always an honor and a privilege to come before you to share a few words from the Bible. When Jeff and or Brother Ray are out, it encourages me to continue to stay steadfast in my study, to be humble in my approach. And today I'd like to continue our theme of Israel, and week four, our country will one day relocate. Our country will one day relocate, as the theme of this week on our topic card, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11. We will stay here for the bulk of our text this evening. It's interesting, this particular week of focus. Our country will one day relocate. I think that's an interesting topic. It's interesting because the battle, current battle, that Israel faces in the war on the Gaza Strip with the Palestinians and the like is over territory. It's over land, and it always has been. And I fear, unfortunately, it may always be. The scriptures help to align us to the right focus. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 that was read in your hearing. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Talking about the faith of Abraham, who, while on earth, was looking for physical land to extend his family. God made a way for him to realize a relationship with him would be beyond this earth. It would be beyond this world's borders. And we can learn a lesson or two of that and what it would require of us in order to achieve it. So I've put together just a really high-level lesson. I hope not to be here long, but, you know, sometimes when you say that, it happens. I won't say it again. I don't know if that's going to help at all, but it's been a minute since I've been up here, so I want to make sure I hit the right buttons. And I'm not. That advance it. Well, I used to know how to work PowerPoint. Here we go. There we go. Or to achieve this country that we will one day relocate to, we have to do it by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, still in that text. You'll read of the faith that is required in order to achieve or to make our way to that city whose architect is God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it reads, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." And just so we're clear about what this faith looks like, it's not just any faith. We can read in James chapter 2, and verse 19. Have you ever heard someone say, well, you have your faith and I have mine? You ever heard that expression before? It's usually expressed to kind of put you away or trying to indoctrinate them on what you believe. But James chapter 2, verse 19, I think I said 9, I apologize for that, 19. It says, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So this is not just any kind of faith. How is your faith going to be different than even the demons who believe that God is? Your faith has to be different in how it demonstrates. Matthew chapter 8. I think this is an interesting example of Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. It says, when he had came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, I hope I said that right, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, what have you to do with us, O Son of God? So the demon-possessed men knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them. So this tells us also that Jesus is in Gentile territory. We're talking about a herd of pigs. The Jews typically, this was not part of their diet. A herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them, and when the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs. And they said, and he said to them, go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. The herdsmen fled. And going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out and met Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. I thought, that's interesting. He just rid you of a couple of demon-possessed men. Why'd you want to cast Jesus out? I don't know how you feel about bacon. But there wasn't going to be any bacon for a while. So, yeah, Jesus, that's free. I had to do it. But they told him, you got to go. Okay, that is free. I won't charge you for that. Point of the matter is the demons believe that there is a God. We have to have a faith that's different. It's not just any faith, but an active faith. Again, this is very high level. This went in more detail with Brother Warfel on last Sunday. It's worth mentioning when we think about a city whose architect is God. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. It says, and you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father, and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will find, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. We're talking about an active faith when we're talking about the faith that will look for a city whose architect is God. And we can learn from the children of Israel. We can learn from Israel in their relationship with God to know what his expectations are for us as Christians. It's a restorative faith. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verses 12 through 14. Then you will call upon me. Okay, so we have then. What was happening before? It's what intrigues me a little bit. So just verse 10, it says, so thus saith the Lord, when 70 years of are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. They're in exile. The children of Israel are in exile in Babylon. This is not a good time. But rest assured, their being there was because of their stiff-necked ways, their rebellious ways toward their in their relationship with God. But God, ever merciful, he says, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. We're talking about an active faith. Requires engagement. You will seek me and find me. You will seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is a powerful faith, and it is required in order for us to live in the country that we will relocate to, whose architect is God. Hebrews chapter 11, let's go back to that, our text. And verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Who are these? Our heroes of faith mentioned in the earlier scriptures. And I won't read each one of them down, but we know Hebrews chapter 11. We understand that scripture, that text, to be to show the examples of faith throughout history. Verse 13 reminds us that having seen them and greeted them from afar off, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, that those heroes of faith aspired for a higher kingdom, a higher country, a country whose architect is God. They aspired for heaven. And it's important in the topic of territory and land that we remind our Israel brothers and sisters that we come across of what God's focus is for all of us. That is to achieve and be prepared to live in a country whose architect is God. We need to consider ourselves strangers and exiles while we're here in this world. We sing a song, Wayfaring Stranger. I'm just a pilgrim. And it's important to remind ourselves of that so we don't get too caught up in the physical land that we live in. Members of the same united household of God we are. Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now, for some reason, I have cut short this scripture. Oh, I see, because that's going to be a whole nother lesson. I'm trying to help myself even in my notes. Here Paul is teaching the importance of us as Christians to understand the difference, the change. He says here, and I do have to go back just a little. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who were near. Both Jews and Gentiles. That's what we're talking about here. Those who had the word and those who did not. For through him, we both have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We look for a city whose architect is God. A city that unites people. But with that act of faith, we have to be prepared to suffer. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. And I'm sure it didn't take any of us very long to find out after we became Christians that it was not going to be a bed of roses. But some people might have in their mindset that they become a Christian and they should have no more suffering. They should have no more struggle. Well, you misunderstand God. You misunderstand the country we're relocating to. You misunderstood even the history of those who maintain their faith to death. We must be prepared to suffer the cause of Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. What more shall I say? For the time will would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of the weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. That is not an easy life. And all these, though commanded through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. We look for a city whose architect is God. We have to think beyond this life and all the reasons why we do what we do as Christians. We come here to worship God. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We pray. We sing. Because we look for a city whose architect is God. All of this ought to, should you give your life to God, make your life better than it would be without Him. But this is not the end of the story. We look for a city whose architect is God. And with that, we have to prepare to suffer. Because if you haven't found out already, everybody's not a fan of Christians. If you haven't found that out already, make sure your light's shining. Make sure you're being an example of what Christianity looks like. In order to achieve this relocation, we have to do it with endurance. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand, the throne of God. We call ourselves Christians. Jesus didn't have it easy here. And He is our example. Our physical example of what it means to suffer, put God first, and achieve the city whose architect is God. We have to run with the kind of endurance that goes through the suffering and still puts God first. Verse 12 and 1, I want to go back to that. Cloud of witness. Cloud of witness, you see that It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, it puts me in the mind of those heroes of faith who are looking down on us, and the choices we make to put God first, to be an example of like faith, so that we too can be a part of that great city called heaven. We have to remember history. We have to remember the relationship that God had with the children of Israel. We look back and we study that, because that is something that is a window into who God is and why He expects and what He expects of us. What a relationship with God looks like in good times and in challenging times. So for it, we have the scripture. By endurance, if we mean, I am referring to the importance of being renewed. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God and the true righteousness and holiness. If we're going to serve God with all of our hearts and all of our minds, we have to let go of the past. We have to let go of our past sins and let God renew our spirit so that we can serve Him with a whole heart that is pleasing and acceptable unto Him. This is the kind of endurance that walks in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There will never be enough church that you can attend. There will never be enough opportunities to associate with your brothers and sisters in Christ to continually mitigate the evil that is striving to take you away from your focus to put God first. And so we're here. And so we study. And so we pray and we encourage and we show love, not just to one another, but even our enemies. When you're faced with an opportunity to show love to your enemies, remember, you are striving for a city whose architect is God. It's bigger than the enemy before you. You're running with endurance. He says, well, if I just have to put up with... No, don't put up with somebody. Strengthen your character that allows you to do so with a smile on your face. Endurance. You ever run a race? It's a struggle, I can tell you. It's tough. But the last thing I want them to take a picture of when I get ready to go over that finish line is that it's that ugly thing. Oh, I hate it. It's the only time. All the way through it, I'm dying. I'm gone. But when I get... he wasn't that happy. He was just running. I do have that face. When I see the cameras out of that, I got to get it together. You're not going to win over any enemies letting them know they're your enemy. You have to show love to even those who don't love you. That's to run with endurance. That's to strive for a city whose architect is God. That's to make sure you realize it's bigger than this moment. So then, we look for a city whose architect is God. What is that city? It is the New Jerusalem, the holy city. Revelation chapter 21. I admit it to Leah when we were in our Bible class this morning. I'm not going to do this scripture the justice of what our country will look like when we relocate from this earth. For that city whose architect is God. But this is just a glimpse of what that might look like or mean. Revelation chapter 21 verses 1 through 5. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." Let's pause for a minute. Imagine an unhindered fellowship with our Creator, where God dwells with us. Oh, he'd never get any sleep. I have so many questions. So much engagement, so much interaction. And then he'll be like, "Gary, there's other people I need to talk to." Yeah, but and then why? And how come? And then where? And unhindered fellowship with God. I had to pause for that one. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Stop. Think about what that means. Think about anything that's ever made you sad. We can get sadness from so many different aspects. Someone, we lost a loved one. We can get sadness from just not achieving a goal. And imagine a city where this doesn't happen anymore. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Pause. Not even from the cold in the joints outside. No pain. People live with pain chronically in this physical body we have. And this is telling us everything we want to hear about this country we're going to one day relocate to. I say, that sounds heavenly. It's because it is. nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. We strive for a city whose builder is God, an unhindered fellowship with God Himself. Romans chapter 10 and verses 6 and following. This is why we're Christians. This is why when we fall, we get right back up and we still serve an awesome God. This is why forgiveness. We want to be renewed in our spirit, to have that kind of endurance that says, I'm not giving up. I'm still serving God. I'm going to keep going. Going through the pain, through the tears, through the struggle of life, because we are looking for a city whose architect is God. Romans chapter 10, verses 6. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend to the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, is in your mouth, is in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jews and Greeks. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You're hearing the good news today. And it'll always be here until our days are done. God has always made a way for those who will serve him, put him first, to be a part of this new country that we're all going to relocate to if we put him first. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. But again, an active faith requires us to be engaged in that relationship. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now then, they heard this, and what did the people who heard that good news, what did they do? Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's where it begins. Again, if we're going to serve God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, it starts right there. You've got to say in your heart, whatever I was doing without God, that's not enough. Shame on me. I need God in my life. A heart that is pricked, that is cut in this way, God can restore to his liking. And he said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord your God calls to himself. We strive for a city whose architect is God. We have to put him first. We have to follow his will. We have to think beyond this physical territory. We have to remind our Israeli brothers and sisters, our Palestinian brothers and sisters that we come across who are caught up in this world, this physical world, who could potentially be missing heaven. We've learned so much from this topic of Israel this month. I encourage you to go back, study it, and be ready to give an answer to what God's will is for all people. To relocate to this heavenly home. And how the fighting and the prejudice and all the distractions and the serving and this and that of mankind is getting in the way of putting God first. We have to remind ourselves about the relationship God had with Israel that we can learn from to understand his expectations of us as Christians. Well, scriptures, you know, as Christians, we're not supposed to just not read any more New Old Testament. You know that, right? We know that. It's there for our learning. It's history. It's God's relationship with mankind started. And let's help those who have missed that understand what it means by embracing it and sharing with them anytime we have an opportunity. Certainly, I hope this was my best attempt to try to kick off our last week topic about Israel. I'm sure maybe Wednesday night or maybe this evening. Jeff might have a little more information he can put on that. And if he doesn't, I think with the information we've had thus far, we've got a lot we can arm ourselves with to be prepared to give an answer to this latest struggle that's happening in our world today. If you are in need of anything else and there's anything that we can do, please let it be known while together we stand and sing songs and selections.